And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
You are now tuned into anything potable, the most honorable, the most audible. Hold the applause, like Paul Pierce when he was fresh out the hospital, like Antoine when he shimmied after shots went through. So tell me why you mad even. Your team gonna be sad leaving after matching up with Brad Stevens. East season, champion contenders. We drop twice a week like you trying to guard Kemba. Your team whack and your players whacker. I got the inside scoop after hanging up with Jay and Packer. Okay, we about chips here. I'm talking about this year. Banner 12 plus 6 here.
Fast PP.
Top rookie, I'm seeing it now. Ain't playing around with Tatum.
Fournier.
Brown. We off the charts, but you gotta play it Marcus Smart. Close out, cause he pulling up from Harvey Yard. Gang green, it's no other way. So tune in to the pod if you plan on staying up to date. You heard? Aziz. AJ, I see you, man.
Welcome to
LA Dugouts Bottable, the Boston Celtics podcast here on the Athletic Podcast Network. I am your host, Sam Jam Packard, professional sports fan, and I am joined, as always, by the kid, the god, the legend himself, Celtics beat reporter from The Athletic, Jay King, ladies and gentlemen. And we are coming to you a little bit earlier in the week, but we are still giving you pod once a week. But Jay King, important man, has things to do for the rest of the week. And so, you know what? Instead of talking about the same 8 to 9 different topics we talk about every week, we're going to lock in. We're going to really focus in on free agency speculation. Jay King for The Athletic, which you can read if you're a subscriber now. You can go to theathletic.com/anythingispodable and sign up to. Talked about the 5 point guards the Celtics could target this summer in free agency. Now, this is just because everyone seems to think that the Celtics need to get a point guard. We've talked about this. I'm not sure why that is. But me and you, Jay, we're gonna pick. I've decided to make this a game. I've decided to make this a segment.
Let's make it a game.
So I think we've agreed that a point guard is a possible target for them. I also think we've agreed that power forward is a possible target for them. So I took the 5 guys from your list. I created a little bit you're headbanging right now. I don't really know what to do with that. I added some power forwards to the list, so I thought we're in the Celtics price range.
Today's my power forward story. I'm writing it right now. So that'll mesh well with what I'm working on.
All right. Me and you, we're going to pick. I think we each should pick our top 5 targets for the Boston Celtics heading in to free agency. I even created – look at this. Pow. Free agent power rankings. Look at that.
Ooh, some power rankings for the crew.
If people want to watch on YouTube, we do all of our podcasts now live on the YouTubes. So you can see Jay looking metal as hell. You can see my fire Ben Coates throwback jersey. And you can see the
shout out to Victor, who's listening in from Brazil.
Shout out to Victor. But we are doing the free agent power ranking. So on the list, on your top 5 free agent point guards, you had TJ McConnell, Patty Mills, Raul Neto, Wanamaker, Ish Smith. For power forwards, I added my own list of Bielitsa, Markieff Morris, Carmelo Anthony, old friend Semi Ojeleye, Kelly the Clinic Olynyk, or Georges Niang. Is there anyone who I'm missing?
Yeah, definitely. Rudy Gay.
Ooh.
Otto Porter.
You think they're really going to be able to sign Otto Porter for the mid-level?
I mean, Otto Porter was not very good this past season. It's possible that he's still outpriced for the Celtics, but it's not like he's coming off a good season. He was not in the best shape this past season.
That's fair. I was just looking through like to make this list available for agents, and it was sorted by this year's salary. And so I probably just saw him at the top of the list. It's like, oh, he makes $18 million. There's no way the Celtics are going to be able to get him, but and then they probably can.
One other I would throw on there, Nicholas Batum.
Batum's another one. I just kind of assumed that he was going to re-sign with the Clippers, but
yeah, but they don't have his bird rights. They would probably have to offer him the taxpayer mid-level exception, which would be what the Celtics are offering him. And who knows? He probably will stay with the Clippers. That was a great situation for him. But especially with the Kawhi uncertainty and, you know, their salary situation, you never know.
You never do. I like, especially with Kawhi, he's not going to probably play next year. But the Clippers have a lot of money dedicated to a lot of different guys. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do. But we're not here to talk about the Clippers. We're here to talk about the Celtics. Jay, you are the kid, the god, the legend. I will give you I guess it's not picks because I think we could pick the same guys to do 1 through 5. But who would be your number one free agent target if you were the Boston Celtics?
I like this. Rudy Gay.
Ooh, Rudy Gay.
Rudy Gay. I'm going with Rudy Gay. I think the way that he has evolved just kind of really fits the Celtics. He has become a high-volume three-point shooter. He's become a pretty good three-point shooter, and he's 6'8", 250, and could play the power forward position, give them more size and shooting and defense. I just think he checks a whole lot of boxes when you look at what they need, and especially for the price range they'll be looking at. And so Rudy Gay, to me, would be, like, pretty good fit.
Yeah. How long? He's been in San Antonio for a while now, so he definitely has some overlap with Ime. So it'd be interesting if there's, like, a relationship there that could affect that. He's a veteran presence, which you like. He's probably not going to be that expensive because of his age. And he just gives you that kind of – I mean, Rudy Gay, when he came into the league, was, like, the exact, like, three. He was a small forward. And it's just funny how the league has shifted. Now it's like he's your perfect power forward just in today's NBA.
Yeah, and he's like a very – gives you versatility and size. And I think the Celtics need both of those things. And then he combines it with shooting. So he really does a lot of the things the Celtics need. And for a guy that probably won't come with a huge price tag, he would just make a lot of sense.
It's a solid first pick. I can't pick it first because that's not how podcasting works. We got to fight.
As William Jones says, Rudy going to be out of our price range. That's possible. Guys like him are in demand, but he's old enough that maybe.
That would
be my first target. Like, if we're ranking targets, you got to go after guys that might be too rich for you.
And the thing is, we don't know what the Celtics' price range is going to be yet because we don't know what they're going to do with Fournier. I think I'm working under the assumption that they're going to re-sign Fournier and have to play the taxpayer mid-level, which I think is only around like $5 million, so a little bit less. But you know what? This is pure speculation.
Lance. No, it's more than five. I think it's 5.9.
Ooh, sorry, Mr. Technical, Mr. Journalist with the details.
What Patriots jersey you got it there right now?
Ben Coates, baby.
Ooh, Ben Coates. That's even better than I expected.
The original tight end. He was Gronk before Gronk.
Like Drew Bledsoe, for sure.
Drew Bledsoe or Curtis Martin were the obvious picks. I was a huge Terry Glenn guy.
I was going to say, Terry Glenn would have been probably one of the best options. Willie McGinnis would have been a great one. My cousin has a fire Willie McGinnis jersey from back in the day.
I was so like when they drafted Terry Glenn, I was so excited. I was like, it's going to be the receiver of the future for the Patriots. Never really worked out. Bill Parcells, I think, referred to him as she multiple times in the media. It's kind of a toxic situation, but I was always a huge Terry Glenn fan. But no, this is Ben Coates. Robert Edwards would be another good one. I would have been early on that bandwagon.
Michael Bishop would have been absolute fire.
Brady or Bishop, that was a good sports talk radio debate for a solid year. My first pick, Rudy Gay is a good one. I saw someone in the comments mention Jeff Green. For some reason, I also think Jeff Green is just going to go right back to the Nets, just because if you have that kind of collection of talent, it does, and you're going to take like a kind of a vet minimum contract.
Yeah, Tony is the Jeff Green whisperer.
Yeah, so I like the talent of Jeff Green, but I just don't see him being really available. I have a tough one with my first pick. I like the Rudy Gay selection. I also think they need to go power forward. I don't know if he's going to be in our price range, but I just like Georges Niang. Local guy from Methuen, can do a little bit of playmaking. It gives you that size, that power forward, has gotten a little bit better as a shooter, is progressing. Mostly he gave me an interview before he got drafted, because he worked with my boy Nick Friedman, who was all over the Sports Center Instagram recently. Had to shout that out. But I'm also just a big fan of his game. I think he gave a lot of good backup minutes to Utah this year. And so I like the idea of bringing him home, but I think he does a lot of the things you're looking for. It just being like size, moves the basketball, and can shoot pretty well. I say that not knowing
what he can hold up defensively well enough. Because to me,
to be honest, I don't know enough about Georges Niang's like defensive
ability. I like his game a lot. I've been a huge Niang guy since he was in high school. But to me, the biggest thing for the Celtics this offseason is repairing their defense. They have to find a way to become an elite defense again. And I think they have, by moving Kemba, that will be on that front an addition by subtraction. If you start smart and play a whole bunch of big dudes who can defend, like, and by big, I mean like big and long, not like big and slow, like the Celtics did sometimes last year. And I don't know if Niang fits that, but all the offensive stuff, he'd be a great fit.
He shot only on 1.7 attempts per game, but did shoot 42% from three. He's been a 40% shooter basically from three his entire year. And so
he can really pass too.
He's a great passer, great at moving the ball in the Utah system. The question is, I have no idea. I don't watch enough Jazz games to know if he's like has enough defense. I can go to like Basketball Reference and say he has a positive defensive box plus minus and has this many defensive win shares. I don't know what that means, but is he Rudy Gay that much better of a defender than Georges Niang?
Yeah, probably.
You're the expert. I'll take your word for it. I mean, I think that's also I think because Niang's young, he probably he gets more money than the Celtics are willing to offer. But I don't know. This is a dream list, so you're up number two.
Number two. So are we operating under the assumption that the Celtics signed my first target and now I'm using a veteran minimum, or is this like guys that I'll go after using the taxpayer?
Using the taxpayer. Rudy Gay said no to you. Who's your next guy on your list?
That's a good question. I think so. I would give Nicholas Batum a call, but I think that's a total long shot just because the Clippers make a lot of sense for him. If he leaves the Clippers, I assume it'll be for more money, and the Celtics don't have that to offer. So Batum would make sense for the Celtics. He would fit in really well. He'd fit in basically anywhere because he shoots threes, defends, and he's 6'8" and strong.
Played center, like can play.
Yeah.
He's not going to be your center just because of the roster, but can like guard sizable people and like yeah. He's good at that. Yeah.
Yeah. So Batum would be like way up there for me if it was at all a possibility, but I'm going to just assume that's not a possibility. I'm going to go with Otto Porter. I really think the Celtics need a power forward, and if the power forward can shoot like Otto Porter can, then it makes a lot of sense. He was bad. Like he was not good this past season, especially defensively. He was out of shape. Like his conditioning was really bad. And if he can't return to good conditioning and get in shape and use, you know, a more motivating situation to propel him back to being a useful player, then it could be bad signing. But he's
Was he hurt this year? Like why? Like did he only played three games after he's traded to the Magic? Did he just get shut down?
The Magic stunk, and
they had no use for him. Badness.
They had no use for him, and he wasn't, like I said, very good in Chicago. But the man can shoot. He's a career 40% 3-point shooter, and he's 6'8". And when he was in Washington, he was a helpful defender. So I kind of give him I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt because he's still 28, still young. It could be a bad signing though. Like that's kind of it's kind of like a one way or another. But I think he has some Batum potential where he was not looking good in two situations that were not set up well for a guy like him, like a spot up shooter, a guy who was like long and smart and can defend multiple positions, at least theoretically. So in a better situation, a winning situation with, you know, more motivation to get in shape and stay in shape, I think that Otto Porter, his size and his shooting stroke could be pretty helpful. Like he's a legit 6'8" and a legit 40% 3-point shooter. You don't see that very often in guys that will be available for probably pretty cheap. If he is that cheap, then that would be a good fit. And I recognize, like I said, that could be a bad signing.
Dude, I love that saying your second pick but is a guy think, who might be
I just
high risk, high reward, baby.
I just think the upside there, if he does get back in shape, then he's just a really good fit. And he's not like as physical as Rudy Gay. So the defense maybe wouldn't be quite the same, but he's similarly long and can really, really shoot.
I think the question, like, I have no idea what his market's going to be given his like last 2 years. Like, do you have to spend the full mid level on him? Is he going to be like, is he that much of like a 6'8", just like 3-and-D guy that he's going to command that market? Or is he someone you can bring in on like kind of a vet minimum where you don't have to make him your, I don't know, second target in free agency?
That's a weird one. Because like 2 years ago, he averaged 14-6. And he obviously like, he fits the physical profile of someone who teams should really want. But I suspect that teams will not want to load up big offers for him after seeing the way he played this past season, and that his market will be pretty low. I don't know if it'll be minimum. I don't know if it'll be taxpayer or mid-level exception. I don't know even if it'll be more than that, just because he does fit the mold of like a guy that teams need and use. But I just think like in the right situation, he can probably still be useful.
Now, you said the biggest things for Otto Porter.
I feel bad about this Otto Porter.
It was a terrible pick, especially because my pick, your main selling points for Otto Porter was he was 6'8" and could shoot 40% from three. He was awful last year, got traded. How about a guy who's 6'9" and can shoot 40% from three and is one of the toughest people around and is from, Jay, one of your favorite families? Talk about Markieff Morris. I mean, one of the Celtics lack last year was like that kind of fight, that tenacity, that intensity. I loved every minute of the Marcus Morris experience. I think Markieff's a little bit worse. I would love to have Marcus Morris back. I like Mook a lot, but Markieff is a big, tough guy who can shoot threes. That's exactly like what I feel like we're looking for.
Can he shoot threes?
40% from the 40% last year.
Markieff? You looked at the wrong Morris brother, bro.
At regular field goal percentage, not 3-point field goal percentage.
Yeah.
Oh man, that I already locked it in the spreadsheet. So, but that's a bad look for me. That's awful.
Yeah.
Sheesh.
He was
close to 40% when he was with the Pistons 2 years ago, but he has not been anywhere close to that. Wow, we struck out on round two there. Me and you, just awful picks.
Yeah, but we both agree on what the Celtics need, and we're both trying to target guys that fit the
mold. Above 6'8" and play a little defense and like shoot threes a little bit, be able to hit a corner three,
and you're a veteran who won't screw up a lot. Like the Celtics, they don't need a superstar. If they could get a reasonable power forward on the free agency market with their taxpayer mid-level exception, that could really help. Now, I don't know if they necessarily need to find that on the free agent market. They still have $11 million of the Gordon Hayward trade exception. They could go after a guy like Kyle Anderson. They could go after a guy like Larry Nance Jr. They could target this type of player in a different way. And that could free them up to look for different types of guys on the free agent market, but we both agree that type of player is really important for them to add this offseason.
Yeah, it's something they can maybe try to get with a Hayward trade exception. Well, though, good talking. But if you look at the free agency class at forward, it's just not great. I mean, it's like Andre Iguodala's old, Kelly
Oubre.
Can
you read that? Oh, I guess it's on your computer screen.
It's on my second screen, which is much larger in front of me. But it's just not a very good thing. So this is something they might target with the trade exception. And but you're right. It's a clear size, 3-point shooting. Anything with toughness, I think, is makes a lot of sense. But after that, there's like not a great market. So I think maybe that's a good reason why, is like, because the forward market is so bad, and it feels like there's a lot more talent at the point guard position, maybe that's where you use your mid-level exception instead. And so does that factor into your decision-making when you go with your third pick?
Yeah, I think – I don't know if he'll be available for the Celtics. And
You can't say that before every single free agent – every single.
Well, these are the top three. These are the top three. I'm not going to go after veteran minimum scrubs with the top three.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
So the player, like, I don't know if this guy's a good fit, but he's good and he would help the Celtics and he would bring them toughness and passing and defense. I'm going with TJ McConnell here.
Woo, are you sure him and Fast PP can be in the same backcourt?
No, not at all. And in a lot of ways, McConnell is like opposite of the type of player I think the Celtics need. But I also think after losing Kemba Walker, like having another veteran point guard who can make plays and handle the ball and handle some of the creation responsibilities could be really important. And McConnell, obviously, like, he doesn't have the 3-point shooting you would want from a top playmaker, but his stats are ridiculous, by the way. He shot 58% from 2-point range this past season as a 6'1" white boy. Who does that? Like, what kind of maniac does that? So, and then he led the league in steal rate, which is also impressive. And I just think, like, he's not the right fit. he can't play next to Pritchard. Maybe he could. But you could play him next to Smart. You could play him behind Smart. And he's just good. And so I think, like, that would be prioritizing getting a good player to Boston rather than just getting exactly what the Celtics need. And I just think McConnell, because he's seen as a career backup, could potentially slide to the price range that the Celtics have, even though, like, this past season he was pretty good.
Yeah, I think, like, solid backup point guard, like, he is very good at that role. Change of pace guy, like, someone you have faith in giving the basketball when your primary point guard's not in there. I think the one takeaway is that, like, is the 3-point shooting. Like, I think that's what makes Peyton Pritchard, like, a pretty attractive prospect, is that he can knock down shots off ball.
And I also think there's a level to Pritchard's game as a playmaker that we just didn't see during his rookie season. Like, I think there are many layers to his game that he just didn't feel comfortable showing off as a rookie. And maybe he'll be ready to do that his second year. Maybe that will take a while to develop. And maybe McConnell would stunt his development. So maybe this is just a bad idea to begin with. But
Jay, you got to have confidence in some of the picks. These are your top five targets.
Here's the thing. when you're trying to spend $5.9 million in free agency, the options typically are not very good. The Celtics had the full mid-level last year and came away with Tristan Thompson. Their other free agent signing was Jeff Teague, who did very little.
I feel like it should be the Price is Right sound. That's not the Price is Right sound. Why can't I think of it? You guys know what I'm talking about.
The Price is Wrong, bitch.
Exactly.
But yeah, so it's tough to find guys that will definitely help at that price range. And so I think, like, I'm not going to be sold on any of these guys, but it can be super important to hit on somebody like this. Like, you look at the Clippers, they hit on Reggie Jackson, and it mattered so much. You look at the Suns, they hit on Cameron Payne, and it mattered so much. You look at the Celtics, even a couple of years ago, they hit on Daniel Tice, and that mattered a lot. Like, if you do hit on these type of acquisitions, whether it's veteran minimum, $5.9 million trade exception, it can matter. And on the other hand, like, the Celtics got Vincent Poirier for more than the veteran minimum in a year that Dwight Howard was sitting there and had to sign a non-guaranteed salary. So you can go wrong with these types of contracts too.
It's almost like evaluating basketball players and their fit is a difficult position. There's only 30 people in the league who are tasked with doing that.
And the Celtics have a brand new guy in charge, so we'll see how he operates.
My third pick is strictly a vibes pick. It's a ring-chasing pick. It's I just enjoy watching this guy get buckets. Carmelo Anthony. Seems like a very toxic situation there in Portland. I don't know if he's want to be there. I don't know if he wants to. He clearly wants to go get a ring. I think just a huge
would
fan.
Would Boston be the place where he would go to get a ring?
Not necessarily. Like, it's not his top choice. But what if the Nets have spent all their money on like Boston? It could give him 5.9. He's probably gonna have to get a veteran minimum somewhere else if he really wants to go ring chasing. I just enjoy Carmelo Anthony getting mid-range buckets. I think it's just a good old time. Doesn't help you on the defensive end really at all, but he can shoot the ball, and it's Carmelo Anthony, and that's just fun for me. It's purely a vibes thing. I don't even really think of him as a Knick. I don't have animosity. He's just a legend at this point, and I like bringing in legends on the final seasons of their career.
Hand up. I was very wrong on Carmelo a couple years ago when he came back in the league. I thought he was done. I thought he could never reshape his habits to be a role player. And he hasn't totally reshaped his game. Like, he's still doing a lot of the same stuff he did back when he was a superstar. I don't think he totally fits what the Celtics need because he's not a very good defender. He's not someone who's going to facilitate good ball movement. He kind of.
Yeah, but he gets buckets. I thought if anyone could appreciate that, it'd be you.
I appreciate buckets, but I also appreciate good basketball. And when Carmelo plays good basketball, he can be helpful.
So his first year in Houston, his 3-point attempt rate was like 28%. And he changed that to 42% last year. Like, if he's just taking a lot more threes, I talked about his mid-range, but as just like a spot up guy, like in the shoot, like who can get his own basket. You're right. Ultimately, we were debating about this will be the 11th guy on the team on the roster. Like, hopefully that this person isn't being super important.
You want your top free agent target, or in this case, your third free agent target, to be just the 11th man on the roster?
I don't, but if we're talking about power, like, you have the starting five, and this is assuming Fournier comes back, is Smart, Jalen, Tatum. Are you putting Fournier in the starting lineup and then Al Horford, or Al Horford, then Robert Williams? Then you have Tristan Thompson, Peyton Pritchard, Romeo, Nesmith. Are you like bringing in a guy who's going to get minutes over, I guess, the Nesmith-Romeo situation? Like, is that who you think for these kind of top targets?
Yeah.
That's still the eighth or ninth guy on your in your rotation.
Also, I think, like, with a player like Carmelo, it's just he'd be a different type of guy. You know, like we said, a 6'8" guy with physicality, and the Celtics don't have dudes like that right now, unless you consider Jabari Parker. who knows if he'll be back. So
I forgot completely about Jabari Parker. Do you think they re-sign him? Do you think he like showed enough on offense?
I don't think he showed enough.
That's coming from the biggest Jabari Parker fan out here in the Celtics podcast team.
The key for him will be showing that he can put in the work this offseason to kind of get back to the type of athleticism, the type of speed that he used to have, or get closer to that, because he needs to be better and to improve defensively to the point where he can stay on the court. Obviously, they had him in ISO against Kevin Durant and stuff, and he didn't look totally totally out of place compared to the rest of the guys, but the Nets also tortured everyone on the Celtics during that series. So, yeah, I think he's got to prove something this offseason to the Celtics to be able to stick around, even though he is, like we said, like in the mold of this type of guy that they need, although he's not a good defender. So, not exactly.
Your fourth pick that you don't really believe in and might not be a fit?
Can you scroll down a little bit? Who am I going to go with here?
I mean, there's some obvious ones.
Yeah. Yeah. Fuck it. Fuck it. We're going Kelly Olynyk.
Kelly O, the clinic. The pride of Kamloops.
We're going Kelly Olynyk.
Can he play? Like, he's such a good small ball five. Can he play the four is the big question.
Yeah, I don't think so. And that's why he's really shouldn't be on this list, probably.
It's almost like the Celtics are shit out of luck when it comes to free agency.
No. I think any of the guys on this list could be helpful players. I think Kelly Olynyk is a helpful player. I think his shooting, his skill level, it's just different for a big man. And it can, in the right situation, really help a squad. Maybe in a scenario where the Celtics trade Tristan Thompson.
Ooh, now you're speaking my language.
And they need a third center. Like, Kelly Olynyk makes sense. Their offense would be probably very good with Kelly Olynyk on the court. And, you know, that he's the type of player that they didn't have last year. They will now with Horford with the pick and pop. But, you know, Kelly, at least in the regular season, he can probably play at least a little four. And Horford could probably play at least a little four during the regular season. But I think both those guys are primarily centers. And Olynyk, it's like, how much do you give away defensively while to add some stuff offensively? I still think he's helpful.
I think he's great in the trade Tristan Thompson scenario because I just do think like the Celtics work best with having a kind of a five out pick and pop big. I mean, defensively, you talk about positional defense. People are always talking about him in the tops of the league in terms of positional defense, his ability to take charges. Given what they have at center right now, I just like you can't add, like it's a reason why like I love Daniel Theis, but I can't put him on this list just because we saw him play the four last year, and it just really is not part of his game. But I do like the defense. I don't know. I might be talking myself about bringing in Daniel Theis, but I actually think he's going to be getting more than $5.9 million a year because I think he's probably better than that. And so
he's a very enticing free agent.
Oh, that was weak. I'm gonna go. Like, I just don't think they need a point guard. We talked about Peyton Pritchard and, like, having new levels to his game, and I'm just, like, really hesitant because I think he should be the backup point guard. Maybe you need someone to, like, push him, but, like, my initial thought is, like, you bring in someone like Patty Mills. Obviously, there's recency bias for seeing him cook the United States in that exhibition for Team Australia. But then it's, like, if you bring in a veteran person, you kind of feel like you have an obligation to bring in, like, to give that guy minutes. And I feel like you want to give Peyton Pritchard some room to grow. Cause I agree with you. He has, I think more to his game and is just a solid shooter that kind of put around Tatum. I don't know. I just don't know who to go with at this point. There's not a lot of great options, but I think for me, bring him back, bring back the whole team. Semi Ojeleye, come on down. The guy knows the system. He's exactly a giant dude. He can play defense. He's automatic from three, basically. Semi-automatic is what the people call him. You can get him for cheap, and he's a great locker room presence, a great guy, and I just you need a scapegoat too. I think a lot of people get upset with Shemmy on Twitter, and he bears the brunt of that burden. I just like seeing a friendly face around, so I'm going with just bring back Shemmy.
The Shemmy pivot. I didn't anticipate that.
I don't know who on this list is really that much better at, given at that position than Shemmy Ojeleye. Like who we haven't already picked yet.
I'm going with a wild card.
Ooh.
Jonas Jerebko.
Oh, talk about bringing the team back together. He's not even still in the league.
Doesn't matter. Jonas Jerebko.
That's a great pick. I like that the final picks are just former Celtics.
Kelly Olynyk and Jonas Jerebko. And if I had to go any further, it'd probably be like Tyler Zeller, Amir Johnson, Jared
the big
Sullinger.
Dog. Oh, man. I missed the big dog. Jonas Jerebko for obvious reasons. I think I'll just finish out the list by saying Brad Wanamaker. I mean, if you need a solid and sturdy guard to come in, not going to take minutes away from Peyton Pritchard. Like, obviously, there's a hierarchy there on the veteran minimum. Was able to learn from a half a year under the tutelage of Nick Friedman in Charlotte. I think, like, all the signs are here for a reunion. I just think it makes the most sense. Bring back Wanamaker. He's the classic third guard. That's exactly what you need him to be. He's very solid. He's very sturdy. And in transition, he's makes the right decisions every time. Now, William Jones says, bring back Yabu. I'm all for it. I'm a huge Yabu fan. Yabu's on the French national team with Vinny, with Evan Fournier. France is a sneaky big Celtics team if you want a second team or a first team to root for in the Olympics. So Yabu's an honorary member of this list, but I don't think he's actually going to make it back to the NBA anytime soon.
Yeah. Sorry, Yabu. Unfortunate.
I think the problem with this list is that we both agree that point guard should not be their top option. And so you wrote a whole article, but we only ended up picking – you only picked one point guard. Like, I just don't
– I think Patty Mills could be – like, he's a very good offensive player. He's a very good shooter. I think his off-ball movement would just spice up the Celtics. It would just give them a totally different look, totally different feel. They wouldn't be stagnant like they were sometimes last season. But, like you said, like, they need to get – more versatile, they need to get more size. I don't think point guard should be a priority, but I also think they should end up adding another point guard somehow. Like, they're going to need another ball handler. And maybe that could just be like, put Fournier at the position, put Jason Tatum at the position. Like, Marcus Smart, Peyton Pritchard, those guys are going to play a lot of, but you need a third point guard. To me. So it doesn't have to be necessarily a very good point guard. It could be a veteran minimum guy. Hopefully they make some sort of impact. But it doesn't have to be like a McConnell or a Patty Mills where you'd have to give the full taxpayer mid-level to even have a chance at one of those guys, I would suspect. But yeah, like and the thing about it is how much – do the Celtics value Peyton Pritchard's development? Because I think if they do sign one of those point guards, especially a smaller point guard like McConnell or Mills, the fit just wouldn't be right for him. But at the same time, those are probably two of the guys who would be among the better players that the Celtics could target. So we'll see. We will see.
I think that's also a question for bringing in someone at the forward position is like, how much do you bring in a veteran guy who can come in and give you 15, 20 minutes off the bench? Or how much do you play Romeo and Nesmith and like are trying to get them to develop knowing that they're not going to like be as consistent just given their age, but they like have more upside Nesmith energy out of a cannon. So like, what do you, I think it's like, it's interesting. How much do you value development right now? Given this win, like the window we have with Tatum and Brown, it's like, is it win now mode? Do we bring in a veteran or do we like play these guys hoping that they can eventually be that like perfect bench player, like role guy, like maybe 2 years from now?
And obviously we haven't even really discussed, you know, if they don't bring back Evan Fournier, that changes the needs. And then all of a sudden you're not just looking for a four who can just stand still, shoot threes, and defend. Or you're not just looking at, you know, a smaller ball handler. You'd need more wings at that stage. So that's a big variable right now that we didn't really discuss. If they can bring Fournier back, then their needs are a little different. And I honestly don't think that a guy like Rudy Gay or Otto Porter Jr. or Markieff Morris would really step on the minutes you'd want to be giving to Aaron Nesmith or Romeo Langford. Like, to me, those guys are, you know, smaller wings, where I think the Celtics, what they lacked last season, one thing they lacked last season was like just a versatile four with more size than Tatum and Brown, who could space the court and still hold up defensively against bigger options. And I think that type of player just would free the Celtics to put Brown and Tatum on different types of matchups, would free them to be more versatile, more physical, and all things that they need. So that should be their priority to me, beyond like re-signing Fournier needs to be, that's important, as long as it's the right type of deal. Obviously there are other things to accomplish this summer, whether it's negotiating Robert Williams' contract extension, whatever, but that type of player they need to add somehow, either by free agency or the trade exception.
Maybe we'll do the trade exception top five rankings next week. But to go over our list, Jay had Rudy Gay, Otto Porter, TJ McConnell, and then I guess we got a little silly with it, Kelly Olynyk, Jonas Derebko. I had Georges Niang, who I still like. I don't know if they're going to be able to afford him. Markieff Morris, who I read his three-point percentage incorrectly and thought he was a 40% three-point shooter, but that was actually from 2%, which is not as good. Carmelo Anthony, and then bringing back the boys, Semi Ojeleye and Brad Wanamaker. Tweet at us. Tell us who had the better list. I think it was me, but I also think we both lost here. I don't think either of us really created a fantastic list. Jay, this is going to be choose your own adventure. Do you either want to hear the dilemma I have while playing pickup, or do one of those spend $15 on the all-time Celtics team?
Let's hear about your pickup dilemma first.
Okay, last week, I'm hooping and just get on new team, get on this with this guy. He's pretty good. He's got some handles, can knock down threes. But all of a sudden, he starts missing threes and starts screaming at his teammates to offensive rebound, where it's just like, clearly he's frustrated that he didn't make the shot and is like trying to blame someone else. He just eventually starts just like totally not like engaging with the game and getting frustrated, not running back on defense whatsoever, like literally staying at the opposing three-point line. Basically ruins the game for everyone playing there. But we managed to fight back and he hits the game-winning three. Ooh, and so
love that.
Like he can shoot. Love, like he is twist. A baller. So he hits the game winning three. Like my teammates and I were like trying not to pass him the ball, but at some point you just got to do it. So then we play the second game. Two of my teammates quit and refused to play again with him. They're like, no, he's terrible. I hate it. And I wish I could have done that. I wish I had the balls to do it. But we play again. He again makes us play 4-on-5. He even gets more upset. So fast forward to yesterday, he's back on the court. Do I play with this guy again? Like, do I like and put myself into a game when I know this guy is a awful, awful like guy to play pickup with? Like, luckily in the first game we were shooting first five to make. He made it first, so I missed my shot intentionally, so I didn't have to be on his team. But like, I just don't want to play basketball with this person anymore. Like, what do I do in that situation?
Well, here's your problem. Did you address it when it first happened?
Yeah. No, yelling at him.
Did you call him a dickhead? Did you tell him? Like, what was the response when he first?
Nothing. He just kind of ignored it. I was like, are you like, he would yell at me to offensive rebounds, like, get back and play defense. People quit on him. Like, you know how rare it is for someone to win a game at pickup and then say, no, I don't want next. Like, he was fairly clear what was happening. While we were like making teams the other day, like, people were audibly saying, like, I don't want to play on that guy's team.
Here's what I would have done when I was still a good basketball player. I would have said, I would have made it after he made it and then said, but I'm not playing with this guy. But he doesn't go back on. I would have made a show of it. I would have pointed out that he's an asshole. And hopefully that would have been enough to steer him in the right direction.
I wish I had your swagger and confidence. I don't speak basically when I like play pickup. I'm a very loud asshole and like behind the microphone, but out in public, I'm probably like a pretty shy person. I don't have the stones to be like, one, I probably wouldn't make the shot. Two, to just like publicly announce that like, fuck this guy. I need to like have, I'll join on if like the better players on the court, but I don't feel like I have enough clout to determine who plays pickup at this run. Like I'm just the old guy playing with a bunch of like 24-year-olds. I steer clear of any sort of confrontation.
Although, see, that's your problem. This guy needs to be told he's an asshole, or you should tell one of the like big dogs on the court. Be like, you gotta put this guy in his place, because somebody's got to put him in his place. You can't just let someone like that ruin your game day in and day out. If it happens once, whatever. But if it's happening over and over, fuck that guy.
It's just such an antisocial, like it's like a pre-crime move. Like going to the courts, knowing you're going to ruin the game for the 9 other people you're playing with. It's
like when Andrew Bynum, remember that story of when he was at practice and just shooting up shots from wherever he got the ball?
Like when you're messing around on 2K, just like immediately shooting.
Yeah, like just launching threes from 75 feet, no matter when he touched the ball. It's sort of like that, except the pickup version. And I think someone eventually banished Andrew Bynum, right? You gotta get rid of this motherfucker somehow.
I'll do my best. All right. Do you want to quickly do the $15 on all-time Celtics, or should we save it for next week? Because I feel like it's going to be a pretty robust discussion, but unfortunately I have to go. So I think it's something we can – also, there's a number of updates I needed to make to the roster.
Let's tease it now.
Let's talk about the updates to the roster. Week. Now, my brother's friend Peach, Josh Goldstein, sent me this graphic, and he's an old soul. He has real grandpa energy. And my one issue with it is that it has a lot of guys from the 1950s and 60s Celtics. And so I don't fucks with them as much as I do the modern players. But let's go through it. At the point guard position, $5, Bob Cousy. That feels pretty standard. Shooting guard, that is John Havlicek, Larry Bird, Kevin Garnett, and Bill Russell. $4, JoJo White, Sam Jones, Paul Pierce, Kevin McHale, Dave Cowens, Rajon Rondo, I think it's Bill Sharman. I was able to figure that out. Reggie Lewis, Jason Tatum, Robert Parrish.
Then those were the $3
options. $2, DJ, Ray Allen, Satch Sanders, Tommy Heinsohn. Is that Ed McCauley? Like,
that's probably easy, Ed.
I don't know who that man is.
I can't really see. The video from your screen is pretty small.
It's but that's got to be easy, Ed. White guy with no number.
Yeah, team, I think he's a center, too. It's got to be easy, Ed.
And then the $1 are Tiny Archibald, Danny Ainge, Jaylen Brown, Cedric Maxwell, and Perk. And so what I wanted to do was put in Isaiah Thomas for Tiny Archibald. I like Tiny's great, but IT was fifth in MVP voting, and I feel like he deserves to be on the list. I jokingly said Jay Crowder in for Satch Sanders because Jay Crowder is a finals legend. But I do think we need to get Frank Ramsey out of here. Like Marcus Smart, I think, should be in the $2 one, and you move Ray Allen up to $3, and you put Marcus Smart as your $2 shooting guard.
Can we get Al Horford somewhere in here too?
Instead of Easy Ed McCauley, I would absolutely agree.
Yeah, we'll throw Al Horford in for McCauley. Shout out to McCauley, though. He was nasty back in the day.
He was back in the day, but he's also no Al Horford. So I'm going to update this graphic. I'll tweet it out again, and then we'll have that debate next week. But I think it's a fun game. Normally with these things, it's like spend $15, and I just say I'll get everyone in the first and second rows, and then I'll have a deep team, 10 players. But for this one, I'll put some thought into it, and we'll make it work.
Do you know that Ed McCauley was an ordained deacon of the Catholic Church?
That's pretty interesting.
And co-authored the book Homilies Alive, Creating Homilies That Hit Home.
Wow, that's pretty interesting. I'm just curious about that. Is creating homilies at home potable?
That's one.
Anything thing that's is potable.
I don't, even though we potted about it, I don't think it's potable.